ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్ మంత్ర 8 సెక్షన్ 4 మధుకాండ. తదేతత్ ప్రేయ పుత్రాత్ ప్రేయో విత్తాత్ ప్రేయోన్యస్మాత్ సర్వస్మాత్ అంతరతరం యదయమాత్మా సయోన్యమాత్మనః ప్రియం బ్రువాణం బ్రూయాత్ ప్రియం రోచ్యతి ఈశ్వరోహ తథైవ స్యాత్ ఆత్మానమేవ ప్రియముపాసీత సయ ఆత్మానమేవ ప్రియముపాస్తే నహాస్య ప్రియం ప్రమాయుఖం భవతి. సో వి సా ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ ఇన్ దిస్ 8th మంత్ర the upanishad points out that atma alone is priyatamaha or atma alone is preshtaha dear most. It is that compared to all other things like to us putra patni vitta graham kshetra among all of them, atma only is the dearest. The upanishad does not give the reason. Atma is non different from brahman purna swarupam and purnatvate ananda swarupam. So brahman alone has entered the mind as atma. Entered, we should understand what we mean by entered, because we went through the anupravesha stuti earlier. So therefore atma is purnam and therefore sukham. And chandogya upanishad says yo vai bhuma tat sukham. We have already seen that in chandogya. It gives the logic. Whatever is purnam is sukham and whatever is alpam is dukham. Na alpe sukham na asti. That's what it was also told Chandogya. The rule is everybody likes sukham unconditionally. Atma being sukham, all like it more. Then we saw they like sukha sadhanam also. In addition to sukham, sukha sadhanam also, which being the means of sukham, like patni, mitra, job, all that. But that love is a conditional love and therefore not real love and fake love only. Therefore Upanishad said atma priyatvam is the highest. Up to that we saw in the last webinar. Now let us read shloka 149. తదాహు యద్బ్రహ్మ విద్యయా సర్వం భవిష్యంతః మనుష్యాః మన్యంతే కిము తద్బ్రహ్మ అవేద్ యస్మాత్ తత్ సర్వం అభవదితి. సో హియర్ ది ఉపనిషత్ ఇమాజిన్స్ ఎ గెట్ టుగెదర్ ఆర్ అన్ అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ సీకర్స్. They call it Brahmanas. The Brahmanas, so Acharya defines Brahmana as Brahma Jigyasavaha Brahmanaha. Only those people who are the seekers of Brahman. So those desirous of knowing Brahman, they get together and they discuss. What do they discuss here? Brahma Vidyaya Sarvam Bhavishyantaha Iti Manushyaha Manyante. They say some seekers think, through Brahma Vidya, we can become all. Sarvatma Bhavaha and Bhavishyantaha should be taken as Bhavishyamaha. So Brahma Vidyaya Sarvam Bhavishyamaha. This is the thought of Manushyaha Manyante. Some seekers consider in this way. And based on this idea, the Brahmanas, they discuss that by knowing Brahman, which is Sarvam, we also know Sarvam, which is everything. And based on this, Brahmanas raised a question. We become everything by knowing Brahman, and we see that Brahman itself is everything. Then the question is, if Brahman is everything, that Brahman also should have become everything by knowing something. So the seekers become everything by knowing Brahman, and we know that Brahman is everything. Question is, how did Brahman become everything, through knowledge or without knowledge, is the question. So such a question poses many problems, of which we will see some here. Number one, if Brahman becomes everything, or if Brahman is everything without gaining any knowledge, why can't we also become everything without gaining knowledge? That is question number one. Second question is, suppose Brahman becomes everything by knowing something else, then that something else should become everything by knowing something else. And then what dosha will come? We have seen it in the last webinar. Anavastha dosha will come. So this is a problem mantra. They call it a problem mantra in two ways. Number one, it is a problem to understand this mantra. That is one. Number two, it's a mantra which talks about various problems only. So answers only, they come later. But it talks about only various problems. So problem, pratipadaka mantraha. So it is problem mantraha. Now the third question is, suppose you say that Brahman becomes everything by knowing itself, then it seems to be okay because we become everything by knowing Brahman. So if we become everything through Brahma Vidya, Brahman also becomes everything by Brahma Vidya. So they say in these two we have a problem. It means what? Brahman is knowing itself. That is, the subject, object are identical. This is illogical. What is the logic? Subject and object are ever different. This defect is kartru karma virodaha. Therefore, how do you say that Brahman is everything? And therefore, if Brahman cannot become everything, I can't also become everything by knowing that Brahman. And lastly, one more problem also is there. In all the three options, namely without knowledge, Brahman becomes everything. Or number two, by knowing something else, Brahman becomes everything. And number three, by knowing itself, Brahman becomes everything. In all these three, there is a defect. It is, if it becomes everything, then the phalam is perishable. Because whatever becomes means it is a process and it will not be permanent. It is nashvaratva doshaha, anityatva doshaha, that will come. So the question is, how did Brahman become, or Brahman is everything? So this mantra is the question only. So it is nashvaratva doshaha. Now if you look at this mantra, tad ahuhu, the seekers, they discuss, what do they discuss? Brahma vidyaya sarvam bhavishyantaha iti manushyaha manyante. Some seekers say, through Brahma vidya, we can become everything. Now what is the doubt? Kimu tad Brahma aved. What did that Brahman know? Yasmat tat sarvam abhad. By which knowledge Brahman became everything? This is the question of the Brahmanas, of the seekers. All unique things are in Brihadaranyaka. So whether we take Prashnopanishad, Kenopanishad, Mundakopanishad, Mandukya, Brihadaranyaka is unique. The question is tad ahuhu. So Brahmanaha ahuhu, that is why at the end of the mantra, iti is there. So that is to complete the quotation. And what is the answer? This comes in the next mantra that we will read. Mantra 10. Brahma vayidamagra asit tadatmanameva avet aham brahmasmiti tasmatat sarvam abhavat. Very important mantra. We will see up to this in mantra 10. We will continue this mantra for quite some time. So the question posed by the seekers is being answered here. A very famous and important mantra. In fact, the whole mantra is known as Brahma Kandika, because it begins with Brahma. This is a very famous because of the well-known Mahavakyam, Aham Brahma Asmi. One of the four Mahavakyas. We know the four Mahavakyas. Prajnanam Brahma is from Aitareya Upanishad of Rigveda. Ayam Atma Brahma is Mandukya Upanishad of Atharvana Veda. Tattvamasi is Chandogya Upanishad of Samaveda. And Aham Brahma Asmi is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad of Yajurveda. So what is the gist of this? We will see that first before going into the discussion. Of the three options that we said just now, the Upanishad takes the last option, namely, Brahman became everything by knowing itself. For this, Upanishad says that Brahman alone is appearing as Jivatma during the Ajnana Avastha. And therefore, when Jivatma gains knowledge, who gains knowledge? Brahman alone is Jivatma during Ajnanavastha. So who is Ajnani Jivaha? Brahman only. And who is Samsari? Brahman only. We can say very boldly. Brahma eva avidyaya samsarati. Brahma eva avidyavasthayam samsari jivatma ityuchate. So this samsari jivatma goes to a teacher. Who goes to the teacher? That is also Brahman. Brahma eva avidyavasthayam shishyaha bhavati. And Brahma eva avidyavasthayam shravanam karoti. Shrotavyaha, mantavyaha. So tad brahmaiva upadeshate, for which acharya goes on, he discusses this particular thing for a long time. So paramakarunikaha guruho, with the greatest compassion agatya, whenever he gets a chance, acharya, you know, he talks about all that so many times. So acharya means acharya. So brahmaiva upadesham shrunoti and tasmat brahmaiva janati aham brahma asmi iti. So Brahman alone knows I am Brahman. And Jnana Avasthayam Tad Brahmaiva Sarvam Abhavate. During Jnana Avastha, whatever we said earlier, it's all Ajnana Avastha. Then during Jnana Avastha, that Brahman alone is everything. Thus, the Upanishad reveals Brahma Jivatma Aikyam. Brahman alone is Jivatma. Brahman alone goes through samsara during ignorance. And Brahman alone knows Aham Brahma Asmi. And Brahman alone becomes free of problems. Here, two avasthas are here. Ajnana avastha and Jnana avastha. In Ajnana avastha, Brahman is called Jivaha. And as Brahman in Jnana avastha. Therefore, both are one and the same thing. It is called Jiva in Ajnanavastha and called Brahman in Jnanavastha. Now, the Upanishad talks about Ajnanavastha as a past condition in this mantra. That means what? The Upanishad assumes that now we are all in Jnanavastha. We are all Jnanis. That's what Upanishad assumes. Hence, we are Brahman. Assuming this, we have to read this mantra. And then only we will follow the explicit meaning of this mantra. So we are all jnanis now. Agre. Agre means in the past. Referring to ajnanavasthayam purvam ityartha. So careful. In Chandogya Upanishad and Aitreya Upanishad, idam agre asit. There before srishti, there it means. Here it is not that. Here agre means jnanad agre. Jnanad prag avasthayam before jnanam. During ajnanavastha, brahmaiva asit. Brahman alone was there as idam, jivatma chaitanyam or jiva chaitanyam. That idam indicates sharirastam manasaha sakshi rupena avastitam. That chaitanyam which is in the mind as sakshi chaitanyam obtaining in the body, shariram. Which is given the name kshetrajnaha. Called Shariri, Dehi, all these names are familiar to us from Bhagavad Gita. And this Jivatma Chaitanyam was none other than what? Brahman alone. Therefore, Samsari Jivatma is also Brahmaiva, Jivatma Rupena Asit. Then what did this Jivatma do? Tad, Jivatma Rupena Vartamanam Brahman, that Brahman, the gloomy looking miserable Samsari Brahman before Jnanam, what did he do? Atmanam aved, knew itself. That Brahman who was then in the Ajnana Avastha as Jivatma know Atmanam itself. Here eva is there, Atmanam eva. Acharya takes eva as itself without the association of Shariram. That means Sharira Vetireka Atmanam. The Atma that is different from the Shariram. That is, Shuddha Atmanam, Kevala Atmanam, Lakshyartha Bhuta Atmanam, Bhagatyaga Lakshanaya Lakshita Atmanam, Sakshi Bhutam Atmanam, all these terms are known to us. It knew itself, the Brahman knew itself, without combining body, mind, all those attributes. Aved. Aved means Jnana, Jnathavata. Okay, and what is the knowledge? Aham Brahma Asmi Iti. As I am Brahman is the Jnanam. So the Jivatma who is now in Ajnanavastha, who appears to be a samsari, that samsari I, the Jivatma, am originally Brahman only iti. Iti means it ends the course. As a result of this knowledge, aham brahma asmi iti jnanena tasmat. Therefore, because of this jnanam of aham brahma asmi, what happens? Sarvam abhavat. That Brahman itself became everything. Or we can say that Brahman, which is in the form of Jivatma, became everything by that knowledge. That means Sarvatma Bhavaha or Brahma Bhavaha Abhavata. During ignorance also Brahman was everything. But because of ignorance, Sarvatma or Brahmatvam was not known, Sarvatvam. So in that place, Asarvatvam and Abrahmatvam, they were there. Due to jnanam, asarvatvam, abrahmatvam, they got replaced by sarvatvam and brahmatvam. Therefore, brahma vidyayam, brahma sarvam abhavate. Then how do you say jivatma then? Brahman. We use the word jivatma, but it is another word for brahman only. How can brahman be called jivatma? It is because of ajnana avastha. When it is called paramatma or brahman during jnana avastha. Once we get jnanam, we know that Jivatma and Paramatma are one and the same. So two names based on two avastas and not two substances. The Jivatma and Paramatma ikem is very clearly pointed out in this mantra. Here Shankaracharya enters into another big debate. First Pravesha Bhashyam Visa, then Vidya Sutra Bhashyam Visa. Now we have Mahavakya Bhashyam, a big discussion, and we will first see the summary of that. This is the Mahavakya Bhashmam. Mahavakyam is what? Aham Brahma Asmi here. So just to refresh, who knows meaning of Aham Brahma Asmi? The Upanishad says Brahman alone knows Aham Brahma Asmi because Brahman alone was appearing as the ignorant Jivatma before gaining knowledge. Okay. Therefore, Agre. Agre means Jnanat Purvam Brahmaiva Idam Asit. Brahman alone was there as samsari, as Jivatma due to his own ignorance. And this Brahman, the samsari alone, gains knowledge of himself or itself. Tad atmanam eva aved. And the knowledge is aham brahma asmi. And because of this knowledge, what happens? Tasmat tat sarvam abhavat. Because of that, Brahman became sarvam. Brahman attains sarvatma bhavaha. We saw all this just now. We are refreshing. That means even before gaining knowledge, Brahman was sarvam. Brahman was everything, but due to ignorance, sarvatvam was covered, it was not known. And in that place, asarvatvam was superimposed. Asarvatvam means limitations. So the limitation was superimposed before, and gaining self-knowledge negates the superimposed limitation, and this is called sarva bhava apti. Sarva bhava apti. This is called. That is asarvatva nivrittihi eva sarva bhava apti. Ityuchate. So this is Acharya's commentary. Then he enters into a debate with another commentator called Bhartruprapanchaha. Who had written a different commentary on the same line. He was very famous during Shankaracharya's time, but his commentaries got obscured when Shankaracharya's commentaries came to be known. So Acharya analyzed his commentaries and dismisses some and accepts some also. Now let us see. According to Bhartruprapancha, word Brahma refers to the Jivatma only. The first Brahma in Aham Brahma Asmi, Brahma va idamagra asit, tad atmanam eva avet aham brahma asmi iti. In that, the first Brahma refers to Jivatma, the seeker. And he argues, this Jivatma, who is ignorant and samsari, is different from real Brahman, the Paramatma, and is going to become Brahman later after gaining jnana. That is his argument. Now he is Jivatma Brahma Bhinnaha, samsari ajnani. Since he is going to become Brahman later, the Upanishad calls him Brahman even before self-knowledge. He becomes Brahman and attains Sarvatma Bhava on gaining the Brahma Jnana. In support of this, he gives various reasons. So, Bhartruprapancha says, Ajnani Jivatma has to be different from Paramatma because the Upanishad says, Saha Sarvam Abhavat. Abhavat. That means later he became, we have to underline, he became Brahman. So he became means it goes without saying that he was not Brahman earlier. And the second argument Bhartruprapancha proposes is Veda clearly differentiates Brahman, the Paramatma, and Jivatma, while discussing Brahman. So Shruti says, Brahman has all virtues. Satya Kamaha, Satya Sankalpaha, Sarvajnaha, Sarveshwaraha, Sarva Shaktiman, Sarvantaryami, Sarvavyapi. It says all about Brahman. And Ananta Kalyana Gunanalayaha, saying Brahman has no dosham at all Kalyana Gunas only. And the very same Shruti talks about Jivatma also endowed with totally different virtues, more vices than virtues. Alpajnaha, Samsari, Alpavyapi, all that. So, Yoni Manye Prapadyante, Shariratvaya Dehinaha, Tanu Manye Nu Samyanti, Yata Karma, Yata Shrutam. So, this Jivatma is carried here and there because of the power of karma. He goes to higher lokas, comes down to lower lokas, he may become a plant or animal. This is said to be the autobiography of a Jiva. Thus, scriptures clearly differentiate Jivatma and Paramatma. Not only that, they also say Paramatma is something like a status to be attained by Jivatma. Saha anveshtavyaha, sa vijnasitavyaha. Anveshanam means one has to search Brahman. If Jivatma is to search and reach Paramatma, Jivatma must be necessarily different from Paramatma. This is the second reason. So what is reason one? Jivatma is not Paramatma since he has to become Paramatma later. And the third reason now, all philosophers, whether Tarkikas or Nayayikas, yoga philosophers, Sankhyas, Vaisheshikas, all of them, they agree that Paramatma is different from Jivatma. And Tarkasangraha is like the primer. It is like the Tattva Bodha of Vedanta Shastra. In Tarkashastra, Tarkasangraha is the primer. So it says, Atma are two kinds. One is Jivatma, other is Paramatma. Yoga Sutra also says Ishvara is defined as different from Jiva. Klesha karma vipakarahitaha. Paramatma has no karma and Paramatma is ever in the state of bliss. So Paramatma is ever in the state of Purna Ananda. But in your case, Brahman alone is suffering from samsara. Overpowered by ignorance, he is called a Jiva. You bring down Brahman to a miserable samsari state. This is argument advanced by Bhartru Prapancha. This is the third reason. And the fourth reason he gives is our Anubhava. So Shruti and Yukti are over. Now Anubhava, our experience shows we are not Paramatma, we are not Ishvara. In fact, one will be even scared to accept the statement that he is Paramatma. Therefore, Anubhava shows that I am not Paramatma and not Jagat Karanam and all that. With all these four reasons, he states, Brahma refers to Jivatma only, who is different from Paramatma. This Jivatma, after gaining knowledge, becomes Paramatma. This is Bhartru Prapancha, his argument. Now, Shankaracharya refutes these contentions. And what are his arguments now? He says, that is Shankaracharya says, if Brahman is Jivatma, the Upanishad says, Tat Atmanam Eva Ved, that Brahman knew itself. According to your interpretation, it means Jivatma knew itself. If Jivatma knew itself, how did he know? Aham Brahma Asmi Iti. Here, what do we mean by the term Brahman? Jivatma. Jivatma was there before, Jivatma knew itself. Aham Jivatma Asmi, and due to this knowledge, Sarvam Abhavat. He got Sarvatma Bhava. So Shankaracharya says, how can you call it Brahma Vidya at all? In the 9th mantra, we have introduced Brahma Vidya. You cannot call it Brahma Vidya at all, but call it maybe Jiva Vidya. This is the first point. And the second point is, the Purva Pakshi argues, even when you say Brahma Vidya, it is all about Jiva Vidya alone. And Jiva Vidyaya Sarvam Abhavate. And Shankaracharya tells his second point. If Brahma Vidya means Jiva Vidya only, there is no need for the Upanishad to discuss Brahman at all. Then we need not tell Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma and all that. Adreshyam Agrahyam Agotram. Why? Because we don't require Paramatma Jnanam at all. What we require is Jivatma Jnanam or Samsari Jnanam. Then the Karmic Jnanam alone is required. And through that Karmic Jnanam, we will become Sarvam. Therefore, according to Bhartru Prapancha's interpretation, second reason, discussion on Brahman is waste. Brahma Vidya Upadesha becomes Vayatyat. So first reason is what? Brahma Vidya Namadeya itself is wrong. The name itself is wrong. And now he has Brahma Vidya Upadesha also is not needed. So for this Vatra Prapancha, he can argue, okay, I accept Brahma Vidya. He can argue, the first Brahman in the mantra refers to Jivatma. Therefore, Jivatma samsariva idam agre asiyat. So tadatmanam evam avet. It knew itself, all that. How? Aham Brahma asmi iti. And second Brahman refers to Paramatma. Then the discussion on Brahman becomes useful. Only after gaining the knowledge of Brahman from the Upanishad, what should he come to know? Aham Brahma asmi. That Brahman is Paramatma. Then all are fine. As a result of this knowledge, he becomes Brahman. That is how Bhartrupa Prapancha argues. So how should we read the mantra now? Jivatma idam yeka eva agre asit saha jivatma atmanam eva avet. Aham jivatma brahma paramatma asmi. Thus says Bhartrupa Prapancha. And Shankaracharya says it's good. You say the first Brahman is jivatma, second Brahman is paramatma. That means aham brahma asmi means the jivatma gains the knowledge. Therefore aham brahma asmi should mean aham jivatma paramatma asmi. Now Acharya asks, if you say Jivatma is different from Paramatma, can he ever say Aham Brahmasmi? According to your own logic, it will become Bhranti Jnanam. It can never be called Avet, that one who has gained Brahman knowledge. If Jivatma knows itself, it should say that Aham Jivatma Asmi and not Aham Paramatma Asmi. Then it would be erroneous knowledge. Because for you, Jivatma is different from Paramatma. Therefore, mantra cannot be proper. Now, Bhartrupa Prapancha comes with fresh argument to modify his stand. He says that in Brahmava idam agra asid, Brahman is Jivatma, and when it is said Aham Brahma Asmi, second Brahman is Paramatma. And that means Aham Paramatma Asmi. It is wrong knowledge also. But even though it is a wrong knowledge, it is willingly entertained as a upasana. It is called sampadupasanam. You meditate upon Brahman. I am nityaha, shuddaha, muktaha. Every upasana is based on an erroneous idea, non-factual idea. When I look upon Saligrama as Vishnu, what is the fact? Saligrama is Jadam and Vishnu is Chetanam. Saligrama does not receive the prayer because it is a stone, while Vishnu can receive prayers. So Saligrama, the Jadam, cannot bless me, but Vishnu can bless me. Still we are using the Upasana because we imagine and invoke Vishnu in Saligrama. Therefore, every Upasana is non-factual and every error is also non-factual. Then what is the difference between error and Upasana? When one is born out of ignorance, it is called Bhranti or error. When it is done knowingly, it is called Upasana. Both are not facts. So, Jnana Purvakam Anyata Pratipattihi Upasana. So, Ajnana Purvakam Anyata Pratipattihi Bhrantihi Iti Bhedaha. This is the difference between them. So, Bhartrupa Prapancha says, still we should willingly meditate upon that. Then what happens? There is a law. Tam yata yata upaste tadeva bhavati. Whatever you upasana you do, one becomes that. Similarly, as a result of sampadupasanam, the seeker himself becomes Brahman. That is his argument. They call it Brahmara Keta Nyayam. This we have seen earlier also. The bee goes on stinging its baby, whatever it is, and that also becomes a bee later. This is Brahmara Keta Vata. So similarly, repeatedly we imagine and in the long run we become Brahman. This interpretation of Bhartrupa Prapancha and Shankaracharya, he answers for that. He says, Upasana can never lead to Purnatvam or Sarvatvam. In Parichinna Vishayaha, you can become similar to the object in case of limited objects. But in the case of limitless Brahman, Upasana can never lead to liberation because moksha is neither karma nor upasana palam. Hence, one can never say Brahman is Jivatma different from Paramatma. Our interpretation alone is correct and Brahman alone is appearing as Jivatma, even when it appears as Jivatma, he is Brahman alone. Every student is a Brahman. You need not become Brahman. During ignorance also, one is Paramatma only. Only difference is what? Upon the Paramatma Swarupam, there is a Asarvatva Adhyasa, superimposition of limitation. And because of Adhyasa alone, there is a seeming difference or apparent difference. And based on that difference alone, Veda talks of differences between Jivatma and Paramatma. Similarly, our experience that we are samsaris is also based on the adhyasa or imagination that I am samsari. And this difference is born out of imagination. The solution is what? Any wrong imagination should be replaced by right knowledge. Thus, Upanishad teaches knowledge, and through that knowledge, the imaginary difference and imaginary samsara go away and we never become Brahman. So only the notion that I am not Brahman goes away. We don't become Brahman, only the notion I am not Brahman goes away. Then everything becomes all right. Now if you look at the mantra, Brahmava idamagra asid. As students also we are Brahman, but there is a false notion that I am different from Brahman called Abrahma Bhava Adhyasaha. And after gaining knowledge, Aham Brahmasmi, I don't become Brahman, Abrahma Bhava Nivrithi Eva. That imagination only goes away. Then Bhartra Prapancha says that your interpretation has also got a problem. He says, so you say Brahman alone was there, Brahman alone is Ajnani, Samsari, Brahmaiva Avidyaya Samsarati, Brahmaiva Shrota Bhavati, he becomes a student, Mantha Bhavati becomes a thinker, all that. That Brahman is Atmanam Eva Aved. That Brahman knew itself. Then there are problems. Brahman becomes associated with ignorance. How is that? Suppose I say, I know a tree. Now tree is the object of knowledge. Jnanasya Vishayaha. And I am subject of knowledge. That is, knowledge is located in me. And in Sanskrit this is called, I am Jnanasya Ashrayaha. Tree is Jnanasya Vishayaha. So whenever we talk about knowledge, the subject is Jnanasya Ashrayaha and the object is Jnanasya Vishayaha. So every Jnanam has got Vishaya and Ashrayaha. So if Jnanam has got two, we can extend this for Ajnanam also. That is, when I say I know a mango, mango is Vishayaha and I am Ashrayaha of Jnanam. So before gaining knowledge, I was ignorant of mango. So mango becomes the object of ignorance. And I become subject of ignorance. So, yata jnanasya vishayaha ashrayaha iti dvau. Similarly, ajnanam also has got a vishaya and ashrayaha. Ignorance means we get two questions. About what is the ignorance is one question. Second is, in whom is ignorance? You say, Brahman knows itself. Tad atmanam eva avet aham brahma asmi. That's what Upanishad says. That means, before this knowledge, there must have been ignorance. So before Brahman knowing itself, you must have been ignorant. After gaining knowledge, in this particular knowledge, what is the object and subject? Brahman knew itself. So the object of knowledge is Brahman. Brahman knew itself is the sentence. Object of knowledge is Brahman. Subject of knowledge also is Brahman. Brahman is Jnanasya Vishayaha Ashrayaha Cha. So before this knowledge, Brahman was Ajnanasya Ashrayaha and Brahman was Ajnanasya Vishayaha Chaya. Therefore, when you say Brahman knew itself later, it means Brahman did not know itself earlier. It amounts to saying Brahma Ajnasasya Vishayaha. Ajnanasya Vishayaha. So Brahmaiva Ajnanasya Ashrayaha. Brahman does not know itself. Now his question is, how can the Brahman, which is Swayam Prakashaha, Swatas Siddhaha, become Ajnanasya Ashrayaha Vishayaha Chaya? How can there be ignorance in Brahman Ashrayam? Or how can there be ignorance of Brahman Vishayaha? In Vedantic Grantha, they discuss this very elaborately. Acharya, in this context, he manages to answer with the help of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself. He does not go to logic because Bhartra Prapancha, he believes in Vedas. So if somebody believes in Vedas, there is no point in bringing our Tarka and all that, because he believes in them. So you can use Veda itself to prove. So Shankaracharya gives Veda-based answer to him. What is the first question? How can Brahman be object of ignorance, it being Prakashaha? Swarupaha, Swayam Jyoti. Prakasha Swarupaha it is, Swayam Jyoti Rupaha it is. So Acharya says, do not ask me, go to Shruti itself. Because Veda says, everyone should know Brahman. And Brahman knowledge will give moksha. Shruti says that a seeker should know Brahman, and if he knows Brahman, he will get moksha. That is what Veda says. Brahman, Brahmavit, apnoti param. Sayoha vai tat paramam brahma vedam, brahmaiva bhavati. Mundaka Upanishad saw that also. So Shruti says, if one knows Brahman, he can be released. If Shruti asks seeker to know Brahman, that means what? He does not have the knowledge of Brahman. That is why Upanishad, the Shruti asks him to know Brahman. That means ajnanasya vishayaha. Therefore, Acharya says, Shruti hi evam upalamba arhaha. If you want scold the Shruti, don't scold me. This is answer to question number one. And what is the question two? He agrees, Brahman may be ajnanasya vishayaha. How can it be ajnanasya ashrayaha? How can ignorance be located in Brahman? For this again, Acharya gives Veda-based answer. He says, ajnanam must remain only in a chetana vastu. Only a conscious being be ignorant of something and become knowledgeable also. Will we say table is ignorant? We will not send then table to, will we not send table to school then? Chairs are there in school. It is a matter for sitting, not locus of ignorance. Achetana can never be ajnana ashrayaha. So there can be chetana vastu, which is ajnana ashrayaha. So Acharya argues, according to Shruti, there is only one chetana vastu, that is Atma or Brahman. Because Shruti says, na anyat atosti drashtruhu, na anyat atosti jnatruhu. There is no other chetana vastu other than Brahman or Atman. So Sakshi, Cheta, Kevalo, Nirgunascha, Kevalaha, only one. Achetanam are more, but Chetanam is only one. There are so many bodies, so many minds, but there is only one Chetana Vastu, that is Brahman. So if Ajnanam has to be located, it must be in Chetana Vastu. And that Chetana Vastu is Brahman alone and can be Ajnanasya Ashrayaha. Therefore, Brahman Ajnanasya Vishayaha, Ajnanasya Ashrayaha, no problem. Then comes the last question from Bhartra Prapancha. If you say Brahman is ignorant, Ajnanasya Ashrayaha Vishayaha cha, ignorant of itself, then when Brahman knows itself later, will it not be Kartra Karma Virodha? Subject and object becoming one and the same? According to logic, in any process, subject and object will have to be necessarily different. We know already, knower can never be known, seer can never be seen. If you say subject and object are identical, it is illogical. So if you say Brahman knows itself, it is illogical of Kartra Karma Virodaha. How to manage this? Shankaracharya manages it also in another way. He says, yes, thank God you remember the law. He tells Bhartra Prapancha, the law is perfectly right. Brahman can never know itself. Brahman does not know itself. Brahman need not know itself. So Brahman cannot, Brahman does not, Brahman need not know itself. If Brahman knows something, whatever is known will become what? Will be an object, different from Brahman. Yen manasana manute, yenahur manomatam, tadeva brahmatvam viddi, nedam yaditam upasate. Therefore, when you say Brahman knows itself, the knows should be within quotation. Therefore, Acharya says, knowing is not regular knowing, which involves objectification, palavyaptihi. But here knowing is only the removal of the false superimposition. Anatma tadharma adhyaropa nivrittihi eva atmajnanam. Natum vishayikaranam, not objectification. Therefore, it boils down to what? Brahman is ever evident as aham, 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 I. No mental process is required. No mental experience is required to know Brahman. Everyone knows Brahman. It is ever evident. Pratibodha viditam matam aham aham iti sakshi rupena bhati. Then what is Atma Jnanam? Along with the self-evident I, we have added limitations of non-I, non-self, with the physical, emotional, intellectual limitations. And Shruti does not want to reveal the I, Brahman. Shruti wants to negate the limitations. Before I said, I am fat, I am thin, I am tall. And now I am say, I am. Body is fat, body is thin, body is tall. I said earlier, I am disturbed. Now I stop it, I am, and add no more attributes to me. The removal of attributes is the jnanam taught by the Upanishad. Yam neti neti vachanehi nigama avochan tam deva deva majamachyut mahuragriyam. Neti neti actually comes in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We are going to see. There is no subject-object contradiction. Kartri karma virodha, because Brahman is never objectified in Brahma Jnanam. Only superpositions are removed through vritti vyapti. So Sankaracharya concludes, Bhartrupapancha's interpretation is wrong. My interpretation alone is right. Not because I say, but his interpretation alone is in keeping with Shruti. Whose? Shankaracharya's interpretation alone is in keeping with Shruti, Yukti and Anubhava. With this, the Mahavakya Bhashyam is over. After this discussion, we can also connect with the previous mantra also. There we asked four questions. How does Brahman become all? Is it by knowing itself or by knowing something else? So among the four questions asked in that mantra number 9, Shankaracharya has given the answer. Brahman knows itself and becomes. Becomes should be within quotations. Becomes everything. Therefore, there is no logical problem of finitude. Now let us continue with the mantra 10 now.
Tadyoyo devanam pratyabudhyata sayeva tadabhavate tatarshinam tata manushyanam tattai dat pashyan rishir vamadeva pratipede aham manuhu abhavam suryas chetim tadidamapyetarhim yayevam veda aham brahmasmiti iti sa idam sarvam bhavati tasyahana devascha na abhudya ishate atma hesham sa bhavati.
I am splitting this mantra into sections for the sake of facilitating the discussion. Now we'll see up to here of this mantra. We'll continue after this mantra, this rest of the portion. So the first, the Upanishad points out the difference between Jivatma and Jnanam and Karma. In karma, to do a karma and get the phalam, so many restrictions are mentioned because karma is based on varnashrama dharma. So if somebody else does that karma, it will not give benefit. If the proper person doesn't do, it doesn't give the benefit to him. If a particular, ashramakara has to do that karma, only if he does, he will get the benefit. In the last thing, webinar also I said, the Ashwamedha Yajna should be done by Kshatriya only. So thus, there are so many niyamas are there, whereas in the case of jnanam, it is not all that dependent, it is not at all dependent upon varna and ashrama. Whoever desires to get knowledge can get it. Whoever gets knowledge will also get moksha. There is no difference of varna and ashrama. There is no difference of whether he is a Bharatiya or Abharatiya, whether he is from here, there, doesn't matter. Gender, all those differences don't exist. Because jnanam is based on atma, which is the same in all. Whereas karma is based on anatma, which is not the same for all. So we should not mix jnanam and karma. And if you are talking from Atma standpoint, there is no difference of brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, male, female, all that thing is not there. Then if a person asks, why should they not do karma? For there is no difference between them. One cannot do any karma because you are Atma. If you assume that if you are Atma, then there is no karma. The moment you want to do karma, then you have to come to the Anatma state.
then you have got differences from other members of your society, male, female, brahmachari, grihastha, brahmana, kshatriya, all the differences they come. So karma kanda is based on bheda. Therefore, we should accept all rules of karma kanda if we want to follow them. We should not bring Vedanta in karma kanda. Don't mix up both karma and jnana kanda. In karma kanda, we are anatma. Now the Upanishad says, this problem is not there when you pursue the study of jnana. Therefore, anyone who wants can get this knowledge. And one who has got the qualification, that is intellectual qualification, can gain the knowledge irrespective of varna, ashrama, caste, gender, all that. And to show this, the Upanishad says, not only manushya can get moksha, but also even devas can get knowledge and get moksha. Whereas deva has no authority on karmakanda. In Brahma Sutra, there is an adhikaranam called devadadhikaranam. All devas have no right to do karma. So adhikaritva nasti. Just as in Bhuloka, all have no adhikara in karma kanda. Everybody doesn't have. Because everybody doesn't mind. Some people can do only certain karmas and not that kind of thing. Similarly, all devas also do not have any adhikara in karma kanda. When jnana kanda comes, all people can gain knowledge. Even devas can gain this knowledge. And this is what is said in this mantra. Devanam, among devas, yaha, pratyabuddhyata. Whoever gains knowledge among devas, Indra, Agni, all those, remember Keno Upanishad, you know that story, Uma and all that thing. And so who gets knowledge and they are all free to gain knowledge, sa eva tadabhavate. Whoever gains this knowledge, he becomes Brahman. Becomes, in quotes, becomes everything. So sarvatma bhavaha, he becomes Brahman. That indicates aikyam. So both are very important. And Upanishad says, eva. Yeva means underline. So he alone can get moksha. This is very clear. Aham Brahma Asmi is the Upanishadic teaching. It is not Shankaracharya's philosophy. He never claimed anything as his philosophy. He is only presenting Vedic teachings alone. And what is the proof? Aham Brahma Asmi iti yaha vedam saha eva tadabhavate. That means karma, upasana, even the greatest bhakti cannot give moksha at all unless bhakti culminates in aham brahma asmi iti jnanam. Unless bhakti travels from artha bhakti, arthati bhakti, jignasu bhakti and to jnani bhakti. Actually, this we have seen it elaborately in Bhagavad Gita. So, saha eva, tesham, shanti, shashvati, na itaresham. We saw this also in Kathopanishads. So, Tatarshinam, tata rishinam. Among rishis also, it is the same. That is, among rishis also, yaha yaham pratyabuddhyata. Saha evam tadabhavate. Whoever knows this, he becomes Brahman and becomes everything. Then tata manushyanam. Here also, manushyanam madhye, we have to understand it. Yaha yaha pratyabuddhyata saha eva tadabhavate. Among manushyas also, who claims this knowledge? No ashrama bedaha, no gender bedaha. If wife is jnani and husband is a buddhu, wife only will be liberated. If shishya is jnani and guru is a buddhu, shishya is liberated. Same thing with son, father, all that thing. Same rules apply. Therefore, age does not matter, status does not matter, all other things do not matter. What matters is jnanam. Then the Upanishad itself quotes a mantra in support of this. It is called an arthavada mantra. A thing to support the main idea is arthavada. We have seen that. In this mantra, Upanishad talks about Rishi Vamadevaha. The mantra says, Vamadeva Rishi knew this. And then he said, I am everything. Aham eva idam sarvam. There is precedence. That means you can also get this knowledge and also you can be free. So look at the mantra. Taddhai tat pasyan. Tat ha yetat pasyan. Ha refers to arthavada, the support. So tad yetat refers to actually Brahman. So tadetat brahmatma, brahmatma tattvam ityartha. So tad brahman etat atma rishi vamadevaha pasyanna. Vamadeva rishi knew. Pasyan means here, not seen, knew. So aparokshataya jnanani tattha. So having gained knowledge, pratipede, he declared the following. What he did? He wound up the following. What is that? Aham Manuhu, Aham Suryascha Abhavam. I am the sun. I am Manu. Manu means the entire race of the Ikshvaku Parampara. Manu. So I am moon, star, all of them. In short, I am everything. Ahamannam, ahamannam, ahamannam. Ahamannataha, ahamannataha, ahamannataha. So amritasya nabihi. So Brahma Tattvam I am. Virat I am. I am Brahma Tattva. I am Hiranyagarbha. All that. So aham vrikshasya reriva. Kirti prishtam gireriva. In short, I am everything. All of them say, I am all. So Sarvatma Bhava comes. So Suryascha Iti. Iti, that indicates the mantra samapti. So, which mantra samapti? The Arthavada mantra samapti. So then Shruti says, Vamadeva is not any VIP. He is also like anybody else. There is no VIP business in Jnanam. And whoever gains knowledge, even in 21st century, one can get moksha. Tad idam api. Etarhi api. So now also, yaha tad idam veda. Whoever knows this Brahmatma tattvam, aham brahmasmi iti evam, yaha veda, saha idam sarvam bhavati. That person becomes everything. This is called purnatvam, advitiyatvam, kaivalyam. All those names signify this. Not only that, the Upanishad says, devascha na tasya abhutya ishate. Even devas cannot stop jnani's liberation. Devascha na apyate apihi. So, na ishate, not capable of. Even devas are not capable of stopping a person getting this knowledge. Abhutya, abhutihi. Abhutihi means non-moksha. Bhutihi means moksha, liberation. Abhutihi means stopping liberation. So, that means liberation is definite the moment one gets knowledge. Brahmavit apnodi param. So, Shankaracharya has a small discussion here also. He says, liberation is definite for jnani. That is, devas cannot stop liberation, stop him from getting liberation. So, if at all devas want to obstruct, they can obstruct the gaining of jnana. This is an interesting discussion. As one tries to get knowledge, you may get obstacles. So, jnana utpartyattam, what happens? So, pratibandaha bhavati. Once one gains knowledge, no more obstacles to gain moksha. So, to get knowledge, one can get obstacles. But once you get knowledge, to gain moksha, nobody can stop it. So, jnana anantaram, moksha praptyartham, pratibandaha na bhavanti. What is the reason? Shankaracharya says, interesting. After gaining knowledge, if there is a gap or process involved in gaining moksha, devas can raise obstructions. But here we find jnanam eva mokshaha, natu jnanat mokshaha. Jnanam alone is moksha, not that after knowledge one gets moksha. So this is all figurative. Jnanam eva mokshaha, knowing Vedanta means I am free already. If I know Vedanta means I know I am free now unconditionally. That is, in spite of family, in spite of government, in spite of everything else. So, Upanishad makes it very clear that no gap between knowledge and moksha. Jnanat kaivalyam is an earlier statement. Jnanam eva kaivalyam is later. So, how do you know that there is no gap between jnanam and moksha? That is the next question. Because according to some philosophers, moksha is after death. Death will not come even if you want. It will come only when it has to come. Thus, a person has to die and thereafterwards he has to go through shuklagati to gain mukti. There is gap between sadhana and moksha. That is their argument. Therefore, those philosophers may question us. How do you say jnanam eva mokshaha? They even laugh at our statement. So, Shankaracharya finds the answer in the Upanishad itself, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself. Not directly, but by implication. In the 10th mantra, what it says, Taddaitat Pashyan Rishir Vamadeva Pratipede. Which I have already saw that now. So in that statement, it is said, seeing means knowing Brahman as himself, Vamadeva attained Sarvatma Bhava or attained Moksha. That's what it says. So you cannot see Brahman, he attains Moksha. Okay. According to grammar, here now this is an interesting point. Both Sanskrit or English, when present participle, which is a root plus ing suffix, if you add, that becomes a present participle. Sit, sitting. So sitting, we listen to the class. So we all, you all sit and listen to the class. Eating, you won't see video, whatever it is. Running, he listens to music. So all these things are there. Now, there are some actions mentioned here. Sitting, we listen. So sitting action and listening action, both are there. So according to grammar, both in Sanskrit and English also, when present participle is used, it means sitting action and listening action are simultaneous. So the present participle indicates simultaneity of action. That is one participle action and the other main action. So eating, we watch video. Eating is participle action, watching is main action. So both are simultaneous. Whereas if you use different participles, having eaten, we watch TV. That means eating action is first and after that only watching action takes place. So present participle indicates simultaneity between two actions. And the Upanishad says, Pashyan Pratipede. Knowing Brahman, he attained Sarvatma Bhavaha. So knowing is present participle. Gaining Sarvatma Bhava is the main verb. So knowing and Sarvatma Bhava have to be simultaneous because of the usage of present participle. If there was a time gap, then it should have been said as what? Having known, and then he attained Sarvatma Bhava. Moksha is gained later. Therefore, the present participle usage in Pashyan indicates Kala Vyavadhana Abhavaha, the immediate gaining of moksha or gaining knowledge. Okay, so from this, what is our conclusion? Our conclusion is, none can stop moksha and all obstacles are for only gaining knowledge. But they are not for gaining moksha. So this is the first argument for devas cannot obstruct a jnani. Now there is a second argument also, which Brihadaranyaka Upanishad gives. The argument is for what? Even devas cannot obstruct moksha after knowledge. And the second argument the Upanishad gives is, Atma hi yesham sabhavati. After gaining knowledge, jnani becomes Atma of all people. Means jnani becomes the very Atma, the content, the essence of all people. That means jnani becomes the Atma of even the devas. That means he becomes one with the devas as well. If devas want to harm a jnani, it means devas want to harm themselves. Will they do it? No. Actually, 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what he said? Jnani tu atmaiva me matham. Lord said, therefore, even God cannot obstruct, because jnani is non-different from God also. And that is what is said here. Atma hi yesham sabhavati. Yesham devanam atma saha. Saha jnani bhavati. Up to this we have read now in this 10th mantra. Now let us continue the 10th mantra by reading the later portion of that mantra itself now.
Atayonyam devatamu paste. Anyosavanyohamasmithi nasaveda yata pashurevam sadevanam yata havai bahava pashavaha manushyam bunjihum evamekaika purushaha devan bunakti ekasminneva pashau adiyamane priyam bhavati kimu bahushu tasmadesham tanna priyam yadetan manushya vidyuhum.
In the previous mantra, the glory of a jnani was mentioned. He cannot face problems even from devatas. He is not servant of any deity. He is master of everything and even of God. Having talked about the glory of a jnani, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad now talks about an ajnani. how Ajnani is under the grip of the Devatas. Avidyavan remains a samsari forever, birth after birth after birth. And not only that, even when he wants to gain knowledge, he faces lot of obstacles created by Devatas. So this is called Bhashyam of Avidya Sutra. Earlier we have got seen, we saw the Bhashyam of Vidya Sutra. Now this is Avidya Sutra. This mantra begins with Atayonyam Devatam Upaste Anyosav Anyohamasmi Nasaveda. This line is very, very important line worth noting. So this statement is known as Avidya Sutra. We had Vidya Sutra, as I mentioned. In the seventh mantra of the section, Atma iti eva upasita atrahi ete sarva ekam bhavanti tadetat pataniyam asya sarvasya yad ayam atma is known as Vidya Sutram, sloka mantra number 7 of this section, which we have elaborately analyzed. Now this statement, Atayonyam devatam upaste anyosav anyoham asmiti nasaveda, is called Avidya Sutram, which Shankaracharya enjoys quoting often to describe a samsari. Until the previous portion, we saw the elaboration of Vidya Sutram in mantras 8, 9 and 10 up to this point. A commentary on Vidya Sutra. Now we enter another commentary on the Avidya Sutram in the rest of the mantra. Sutra means, we already saw, it is a Paiti statement. The essence of the statement is what? Whoever sees difference between himself and God or gods is a fool. That is the statement. Those jivas who see jiva ishvara bedaha, they are said to be foolish people. Now if you look at this mantra, Anyaha asau. Asau refers to devatas. So that devata I worship is anyaha, is different. And anyaha aham, I, the worshipper, am different from the devata I worship, from Bhagavan. So with the notion of division or bheda, yaha anyan devata upaste, whoever worships the devata with bheda buddhi, is foolish. Shankaracharya writes, Guna or Dasa Bhavena Upagamya Aste. I am Dasaha. Dasa means servitude. So the thinking that I am a helpless creature, with this attitude, whoever worships is given a title Saham Devanam Pashuhu. Upanishad says, all these people are called pashu, cows, or any domesticated or any animal. And devanam pashuhu, in two meanings, the Upanishad says, such a person who worships with the notion of difference, saha na veda, he is ignorant. He is an ignorant person. Therefore, first meaning is what? Such a person is ignorant, he is fool, he is mudaha, he is murkaha, all that. And the second meaning, how do you get it? Na sa veda. When there is tons of ignorance in him, he is called what? Simpleton. Tons of ignorance. He is simpleton. Swamiji says this simpleton is a pun. Nasaveda. Foolishness or ignorance. So by using the word Devanam Pashuhu, he indicates that he has Dasa Bhavaha, the servile attitude or a lowly attitude. And this is explained further here. Those who are committed to Karmakanda is the topic for discussion here. Because in Karmakanda only, Bhagavan and Jiva are considered different, and being different, Jivas perform puja and prayers for the Bhagavan's blessings to gain Swarga and so many other benefits. But Vedantins consider that all the Karmakanda people are but Pashus. I don't want to say it animals, are Pashus. As the comparison of the jivas to pashus is a shocking statement, the Upanishad itself takes the pain to explain the reasons. Therefore, it is doesn't in detail. Yata havai bahavaha pashavaha manushyam bunjuho. We find that various serving animals, pashus, protect human beings by helping them. by taking care of their needs. Animals don't do anything for themselves. Donkey, sheep, cow, bull, all of them. They live for humans. Domesticated, they serve the humans. Therefore, manushyam bunjiho. Palayayihu protect or serve humans. Bunjiho means not eating, but they are helping, they are serving them. So, all the karmakandi human beings are different types of pashus serving the purpose of devas. Indraya swaha, prajapataye swaha, parameshtine swaha, varunaya swaha, all that. They give constant oblations, offerings to the devas. Therefore, they are called devanam pashuho. In Vedic jargon, a simple term is called devanam pashuho. It means he is considered a foolish person. So also, every karmakandi, devan bhunakti, they serve the devas. Therefore what? For example, when one has a servant, since he or she is very important, actually especially getting servant maids and all in Madras and other places, very, very difficult. Actually, when I visited actually one of my relatives in Chennai, they told me, keep all your items, whatever things you got, put them all in a safe place. Don't lose something and later say, oh, it may be the servant maid or something. You may buy your item later, doesn't matter, but I cannot get another servant maid. So one never wants them to go away. One doesn't want them to get a better job also. One even prays for it. People even pray for it. Actually, these are all these bonded labors. Father was this thing, he was also picking tea leaves. Mother was picking, they want the children also to pick tea leaves only. They don't want them to get out of their hold and don't get educated and get away. So one's prayer is that he should not fall sick also. The servant should not fall sick. Then one will suffer. Our love for servant is not universal love. So Advaishta Sarvabhutanam and all, Krishna says nicely in Bhagavad Gita, not for ordinary jnanis. And it is again reduced to one's own selfishness. But at the same time, one will never tell this openly because what? One will be mistaken for selfishness. This also there is some hypocrisy. But the Upanishad says, devas also have the same attitude towards humans. They want people to be in karmakanda permanently. As they offer oblations, Indraya Swaha, Varunaya Swaha, without which devatas will not have food. So devatas pray, karmakandis should not get vairagyam. Then if they get vairagyam, what will happen? They will go to a guru, saying, Pariksha lokan, karmachitan, brahmanom, nirvedamayat. The moment he goes to a guru, what the guru tells him? You are akarta. Then the whole karmakanda is dissolved, becomes irrelevant to him. So he turns to jnanakanda and becomes a Vedanti. Then the devas will be deprived of their oblations. So devas create maximum obstacles. Maybe that is the reason why even we have got so many students who have registered for the webinars. Only very few people attend because all others have got obstacles from the devas perhaps. They don't attend. But the Upanishad says, this is a very disturbing mantra actually. So people don't quote this mantra often. As we have to complete the Upanishad, you know, I take to discuss this. And Acharya has even written commentaries on this. So it says, Ekasmin evam pashav adiyamane. If one pet or one serving animal, Ekasmin eva, is taken away by adiyamane apriyam bhavati, the master becomes unhappy. Even if he may have several pet animals. Even if one is taken away, the master will be very unhappy. In a house among many servants, even if one goes away, one gets upset. If that is so, kimu bahushu. If all these people go away, how much this person will be unhappy? This is an example quoted from the Upanishad. In the same way, if one man gets moksha, one person gets moksha, devas think that one oblation, one puja, one prayer will be gone for them. So how can they stand it? So if many people go to Vedanta classes, devas will feel very unhappy. Tasmat, therefore, yesham. Yesham refers to devanam, priyam na bhavati. Devas will never be happy. But yet yetan manushyaha vidyuhu. Manushyas come to self-knowledge. If they come to self-knowledge, devas are not going to be happy. Because one of Deva's serving animals is in the form of a human being. And that human being will be lost. So they send all kinds of obstacles. In this section, there is a small inquiry by Acharya. It's a small inquiry. Here also he does. Because what is said here disturbs our mind generally. So many corollaries can come. So Acharya takes one corollary. In the Karmakanda field, Devas are powerful. Because it is said Devas can obstruct, they can create problems. He says, if Devas are powerful in Karmakanda field, then we will not have trust or faith in karmas. Why? Even if you do good karmas, Devas can create obstacles, or even from our getting legitimate phalam from that karma, they can obstruct. Therefore, in Karmakanda Shastra, people may lose faith and they will become fatalistic philosophy will come. All will have to be at the mercy of the Devas. They will become lazy. So nothing is in my hand, right? Therefore, Shankaracharya discusses, you know, is our experience in life determined by karma or by Devas? He is having a nice discussion on that. And he adds two more. He adds, is our experience in life is determined by karma, Devas, or kala, time, or vastu swabhava, nature of things? So karma, deva, kala, and vastu swabhava, they are all enumerated here. Suppose I fall sick. I can say I fell sick because of drinking some water. So if I fall sick, I can say it is because of vastu swabhava, the water, drinking water which I took is not good. Blaming the water, vastu swabhava. Or we can also blame it is due to our bad time. We can also put the blame on the devatas, Rahu, Shani, all that doshas. Else we can put the blame on our karmas. Which of the four we can get the blame? We can blame. So if it is devata, we will not have anything to do. Nothing is in our hands is a very popular statement even among Vedantic students. That means it is in the hands of the devatas. Kala or Vastu Subhava. Then Karmakanda will become vyartham, become waste, because we cannot do anything. Shankaracharya strongly refutes this theory. A Vedantic student should never say, nothing is in my hand. But why the confusion comes then? Acharya explains the reason for this. Nothing is in our hand syndrome. He says that karma phalam is in the form of punyam and papam. They can never give results. So sukha and dukkha, swatantrataya, independently, even though punyam is the cause of sukham and papam is the cause of dukkham, they cannot directly hand over phalams independently. They require karaka apeksha. That means karma requires a medium for giving sukham and dukkham. And what are the media? If one asks, devas are one of the important media to give karma phalam to the jivas. Similarly, kalaha, vastu swabhavaha, like Agni's heat, Agni nakshatra in Madras, it's very hot. So they are all another media. So punya papa through these media is give us sukham and dukkham. So there is a popular saying also. If, for example, if the sun creates a lot of problem, so they say what? Purva janma kritam papam putra rupena agachati. But suppose the sun is very good, they will say purva janma kritam punyam guna putra rupena agachati. So in our list, I just only said putra, we can add everything, you know, it including everything. We can include any person, anything in that, including class also and the teacher also. Therefore, whatever we experience, four factors function simultaneously. Karma, devata, kala, and vastu swabhava. And we should know which of is the original and which are media. Original is the pradhanam. Medium is apradhanam or gunabhutam. And in these, which is pradhanam and which is apradhana, people get confused. They say it is because of devatas. They put the blame on Ishvara also. Shankaracharya says, according to Shastra and logic, we should say karma is pradhana and Deva, Kala, Swabhava, they are all apradana. Therefore, according to scriptures, Veda Smritinam Karma Pradana Vadaha. Scriptures lay emphasis on karma and not on devata or kala or vastu svabhava. So even if the planetary positions are unfavorable, not the positions wanted to be like that, positions do not give any sukham or dukham. They only indicate our karma that gives sukha dukkha. So karma is pradana to determine our life. And therefore, it is argued that karma kanda is ever valid. That means we can do fresh karmas and change our prarabdha even. It is not that devas or kala or vastu subhava that create problem. It is our own karma. Therefore, through karma kanda, one can destroy or deflect prarabdha. Therefore, never say nothing is in our hands. Vedanta Siddhanta says that everything is in our hands only. So Shankaracharya establishes this. He gives reasons and logic in support of karma is pradhanam. And the other three factors such as devaha and kala and swabhava are apradhanam, subservient, subordinate. And they only assist karmakanda. So the logic he gives is common sense logic. Suppose there are many factors influencing a setup, like our future or experiences in our life. So assume, let us say, four factors. Suppose of these four factors, three are common and uniform and universal factors to all people. Then these three cannot be responsible for variations in life. So the uncommon factor alone can be responsible for variations and differences in any setup. It is common sense logic. Now Shankaracharya argues, of these four factors that influence life, Deva, Kala, Swabhava, all three are uniform for everyone. They are Samanya factors. Example, Ishvara cannot influence a particular person's life positively or negatively because Ishvara is common to all. Ishvara's love, Ishvara's compassion, His anugraha have to be uniform and common to all. If it is uncommon, what will happen? He will not be Ishvara. How do you know? Gita says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha. Krishna says, I am same to all creatures. Vaneva harmyeva samakara nipato himakaraha. In Saundarya Lahari, Acharya says, the moonlight is uniform, himakaraha. Is uniform, whether it is a forest, vaneva, hanmeva, whether it is a palace, it is same. Therefore, Ishvara cannot be the variable factor. And Kala Tattvam is uniform to all. If it is the month of May for me, it is the month of May for you also, for everybody. If the temperature is 70 degrees for me, it is also 70 degrees for all people around here. If sun is rising at a particular time, it is the same for all the same place. Kala Tattvam is not a variable factor. Vastu Swabhava is not a variable factor. Fire is hot for me and it is hot for everyone. Therefore, Swabhava is a non-variable. So these three common factors can never be responsible for differences in creation. Therefore, the only variable factor can be Parishesha Nyayena. The left-out factor is Karma. Therefore, all differences in the universe can be explained only through karma and not God, time or Swabhava or any nature of thing. But only karma makes all the differences. And we don't say other factors are not influencing. We should be careful. But we only say that other factors are not responsible for variations. Other factors do influence, but they influence uniformly. Therefore, they cannot be responsible for variations and therefore karma is pradhanam. Karma kanda is valid and indirectly we infer through karma kanda it can influence one's future. And therefore, I am responsible for the present through my past actions and I am responsible for my future through my present actions. Therefore, karma is pradhanam. Therefore, karma pradhanavada is nothing but self-pradhanavada. that I am responsible for everything in my life. Therefore, I alone should take charge of my life. Never say nothing is in our hand. I am only an instrument and a puppet in the hands of the Lord. It is unacceptable to the Shastras and illogical and irrelevant in Vedanta. In fact, this topic we have seen elaborately in chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita, Shloka 33. There is a statement, Nimitta Matram Bhava. Literally translated, it means we are only instruments in the hands of Lord. Lord determines everything. There we said, if you refer back to the Gita lectures, there we said this statement should not be taken literally. If you take it so, there will be 5 logical fallacies. Please refer to Gita lectures to for further explanation on that. I'm not going to repeat it now. So regardless, karma pradana vada alone is conducive for Vedanta jnanam, because only when I give importance to karma, I will take responsibility for my own life. Because I will say that I am responsible for the present through my past action. I am responsible for the future through my present actions. I am master of my life. Only if I practice this attitude now in Vedanta, can I say I am the master of the universe. Aham vrikshas yareriva, kirti prishtam gireriva, urdva pavitro vajiniva svamrtamasmi, dravinagam savarchasam sumedha amritokshitaha. Not only that, I am the substratum of the whole universe. Mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam. Mayi sarvam layam yati tad brahma advayam asmi aham. Coming to Brihadaranyaka itself, aham brahma asmi tasmate aham sarvam asmi. Therefore, if I should be the master of the universe, that is, if the Vedanta Jnanam should take place in me, I should train this attitude that I am the master of my life. If I don't accept, how can I be a Swami? Vedanta is an attempt to become a Swami, the master. Whereas if I am going to put the charge on external factors like Kala, Swabhava, Devata, my attitude is I am helpless and I am not a master. If with this attitude I learn Vedanta, I can never, never assimilate the implied meaning of Aham Brahma Asmi. If it is not karma pradana, I will begin to say, I am helpless and I am in the hands of the people or Kala or stars, God and all that. I end up only as a dasa to God. If it is deva pradana, philosophy will be dasa philosophy. If it is karma pradana, the philosophy will be swami philosophy. You can decide whether you want to be Dasa, Devana, Pashuhu or Swami. According to Shankaracharya's teachings, Moksha is only for a Swami. Master or Swami alone can be Muktaha and Dasa can never be a Muktaha. Vedanta never wants to impose an idea. It only says it is your choice. Opposite of Swami is Asami. As Swamiji says, Swami Dhananda says, opposite of Swami is Asami. Asami is Dukkha. Swami said, Soham, Saha Aham. I am not victim of circumstances. And I am the charge in charge of all the situations. Shastra is Karma Pradhana and Karma is valid. Therefore, I am the one who determines for which I take the support of Devata, Kala and Swabhava. I don't dismiss them. With their support, I decide what I want to do. This is called karma pradana. Then one may ask, Acharya also talks about Swami Brithyanyayaha, that we have already seen earlier, that you should be a Brithyaha means a Dasaha. So Swamiji also, Acharya also talks about Swami Brithyanyayaha, that you should understand properly, actually. Shankaracharya talks about Swami Dasa Nyaya as temporary step and not to take it as a permanent goal. So Advaita accepts Dasa Bhava temporarily. There also you should be into the context where he talks about this Nyaya. He is master, I am servant theory. Acharya talks about this in the context of Karma Yoga. What he says is, by the attitude of being a Dasa, you should obey the commandments of the master and therefore you must do Nitya Naimittika Karmas. Shankaracharya is against our being a dasa. Being a servant means obey your master, which is Dharma Shastras. Lord's commandment is Dharma Shastram. By following Dharma Shastram, shape up your life and not lying down helplessly. Be a servant to follow the commandment of Lord. Lord's commandment is dharma. Through dharma, shape up your life. This is very clear in the Gita. Niyatam kuru karmatvam karmajyayohya karmanaha. Arjuna, you are my servant. When you follow dharma shastra, not by lying down helplessly. He says, even when you are my servant, I don't determine your future. You alone determine your future through dharma shastra. I can help. Sahegnya prajasrishtvam purovacham. Purovacha prajavadihi anena prasavishvetvam yesha yoshtishtam kamaduge. Arjuna, you surrender to me and you should follow your adherence to dharma shastra. Through that anena prasavishvetvam, you prosper in life. And then later he says, those who refuse to follow dharma shastra, even if they are my servants, what happens to them? They are not going to prosper. If a person is a servant or claims to be a servant and refuse to follow dharma shastra, he will not prosper. He will be doomed in life. Etve tatabhya shunyantaha nanutishtanti me matam sarvajnana vimudamstan vidyanishtan achetasaha. Therefore, karma pradana is our shastra and logic also supports that view. Therefore, when we say deva's control, we should understand deva's control through our karma. We say in Sanskrit, karma sapekshaha ishvaraha niyamanam karoti. Ishvara controls us not independently but through our karma. This is discussed in the famous Brahma Sutra. Actually, we are going to see this. Vishamya nairgrinnena sapekshavat. Sapekshatvat. That is the sutra. We will see when we see Brahma Sutra. So therefore, people who take to karma kanda as mukhyam are ignorant and they are devanam pashuho. So we will put a full stop here actually in this discussion. And actually, because now already it's about 10 o'clock. So I will take up the next shloka in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamayeshwarah. Sri Krishna namaste. Narayana.